What do you do when God really brings your life to that place, right? And I'm really learning how to settle into my new norms, which for those of you guys, I know a lot of you guys follow me on social media. Like, my life's insane. And I love it. And I'm so excited about it. But I realize the Lord's really talked to me a lot lately. Like, regardless of what you see on social media, what you don't see is the hours that I spend with him every day. And the deep parts, you know, that are so tender to me that I don't always share them because they're tender and intimate, you know? And everybody knows I see angels. Everybody knows there's a crazy spiritual side to me. There has been. And I've been blasted for it. I've been scripture bashed for it. But I've just chosen to not let old wounds filter my expectations for the future, right? Because my truth's my truth. And I'm not here about proving or disproving, but I am realizing how much, when I've spoken all over the world, that I always have this expectation that people are going to get freaked out by me. And I realize, you know what? That never actually happens. People actually are really, really hungry. And people, your spirit knows truth, and you know when somebody's speaking truth. So I'm just unapologetic anymore, you know? And I really, really believe in impartation. I live it. Like, the fruit of that is in my life. Crazy. Like, oh man, when somebody explained to me what honor the prophet, get the prophet's reward was, I think I spent most of my time in ministry school going, Lord, I so honor the gift on that person's life, Lord, and I want that. Because we can ask that. It's okay. Right? How many of us see other really anointed people and then compare our lack against their growth? Right? Instead of, I want that. What would that look like? And so I love kind of looking back at my journey since Mountain Ministries. I mean, who do you know that's a speaker that had their gifts blow up in rehab, right? Like, it's just, it's my truth. It's what happened, right? And so regardless of what blew up with me, anointing or gifting wise, what I didn't know was I was a daughter, right? So that journey of having the internal part of me line up right with the gifting and the anointing has been quite a journey, right? So I've never been the girl that's like, I'm so amazing and I can do this and da 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 da. No, I'm more like, I don't want anybody to know because, yeah, that's been more my truth. Also, as I was trying to figure everything out, I realized that a lot of times my perception of not feeling safe is because you mention angels or spirits and people either go and want to suck the life out of you and treat you like a slot machine, or they get freaked out, right? But the spiritual side of me has never been based on anything other than intimacy with God. I've never chased angels. I've never chased the supernatural. But it is how God created me. And I've chased nothing but his heart and that relationship. Therefore, the things that are naturally in me that God put in there have just exploded. Okay, so I was talking to the Hoove. It's so funny. All the students I've brought in here over the years, that's how they refer to you. This time last year, I went through a season where, I don't know, it was for a couple months, where my angelic encounters were like intense. Like, I barely even left my house. I didn't even want to go to work. And I'd come home. I lived with Mama Barb. I'd be like, Mama! Like 6 in the morning, because it was just constant, constant, constant. And I was really overwhelmed and really emotional, even though I couldn't really put it into words. And as this last year and all the things that have happened, which I'm going to get into all this, the reason I'm sharing on this today is the last couple of weeks, the Lord has really showed me how with like my core people, the people I feel safe with, every time I have one of these encounters and I tell them, the angel said this or this or this or this or this and this happened. And I've called Hoove many times. Mama's heard him. Jill and Gary, all you guys have heard, some of you guys have heard him. I used to sit with Sean and Nicole freaking out about all the things that were being revealed. But then the fruit of what they say is going to happen happens, right? So these people actually have watched every single thing that I've said was going to happen unfold in my life. And the Lord's like, can you imagine if you actually started sharing and that faith level and that expectation was corporate, not just with like five or six people, right? But it's been very scary for me. It's been really scary for me. So I was like, okay, Lord, I've got like 500 million encounters. And he was just so specific on what route to go down. And but when I talked to the Hoove the other, I was actually coming up for a wedding and was just going to come enjoy your church, but I started processing some of this stuff with Jeff. He's like, you want to share on Sunday? And I'm like, yeah, I do, because I felt like a lot of times the downloads I get are about Longview too, not just other places. So yes, for those of you guys that have known the tension of me only going when the mic's in my hand and not having something ready, turning over new leaves. Holly would like be crying right now if she was here. Speaking of starting with Holly. Okay, so, Lord, I can't believe how not nervous I am. That's what's crazy. And I'm just really excited, and I don't know what you're going to do with this, Lord, but I'm just going to do what you've asked and share what you've asked me to and just let you do with it, with whoever, what you're going to do with it. And I just bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yeah. And I will do an impartation at the end. Okay, so at Mountain Ministries is when I started to see in the spirit, and I only saw demonic for 2 years. I didn't see anything. One time I saw a blast of a really quick angel over Michelle Hardy one time by the fireplace, and it lasted a half a second, and I wasn't quite sure what happened. Another time, Church of Truth had a women's encounter night, and I saw like this quick flash of something, still wasn't sure what happened. But I moved to Reading, I'm in ministry school, I'm hiding the fact that I see things, and Holly, which is probably one of the most prophetic people I've ever known, and she used to say stuff over me all the time, and I would go, shut up, you're so dumb, all the time, and it's funny how it all happened. But this one week, it's literally like the first or second week of school, and Holly had kept saying, I feel like, I don't know if it's my spiritual eye or what, or I'm imagining, but I keep feeling like I'm seeing like an angel with a blue sash, and I'm like, whatever, like, okay, Holly. And I was such a sassy girl, well, still, but not so much, I don't know, whatever. Anyways, I said that past tense and realized how real it still is. And so anyways, and of course, you know, God's really funny. It can't happen when you're sitting in the back row, right? We're at the front, very, very front. And all of a sudden, as clear as ever, bam, there's this angel standing right there. And I was like, it's really weird when you say I was used to seeing demonic. That's great, right? But this tripped me out because I was kind of intimidated, right? I've always known my power over the demonic, like flicking flies, you're stupid, right? But then there's this honor and this whoo that you feel, right? And he's wearing a blue sash. And so I thought, and I go, Holly, where's your angel? And she goes, right there. Like, didn't even think, like, no hesitation. And then she went, whoa, like, shocked her. Like, it was one of those total spirit-filled answers, right? How many of you guys have the gift of revelation and you learn a lot of things as they come out of your face? Happens to me all the time. And I was like, so then, okay, for those of you guys that know the dynamic of the relationship with Holly and I'm just in awe. I'm just still, and then she's going, well, let's get something. We'll do something. I'm like, shut up. And we're in the front row, okay, at school in a room with 1,500 people, right? And I'm just like, shut up. She's like, well, ask, I'm not, what do you want me to ask it? I don't even, like this, like the fact that this is so true. And I'm like, just shut up. And then all of a sudden, I think I'm processing in my mind what I'm going to ask this thing. But yet I'm intimidated to even talk to it, right? Like I'm going to get hit with lightning and burn in hell or something. I don't know. And all of a sudden, Holly, before I could even say anything, I start weeping because something came over me in the physical, which as much of a drug addict as I was, I never did heroin. This had to have been like heavenly heroin. I don't even know how to explain what it was. I've only experienced it twice ever since then. But I literally somehow had a knowing, you know, Bible talks about a knowing, that it was actually this angel's love for Holly. Like I could feel it and I was wrecked and I'm in it. Like I'm wrecked. And Holly's like, what's he doing? What's he? I'm like, shut up, you're ruining it. Like this is totally what happened. She loves to remind me all the time. And then it was gone, right? And I was like, whoa, that was a trip. So a little bit, now mind you, keep in mind, when I started first year, due to other things that I've preached about for learning to receive and da-da-da-da-da, you know, like I went to school, the demon slayer, right? Laying down all false identities and really just wanted the Lord to be my identity, right? So I laid down all the spiritual stuff as my life is spiritually blowing up, right? So I'm not like being open with any of this. So little by little, more of this angelic stuff is happening. Now, of course, Holly's like, ask it for a scripture. Do this. Ask him this. Hey, would you ask my angel if I should turn in my 2-week notice? I'm like, oh my word. That's why I have an email that says, ask the Lord. Anybody that knows me, my answer to everything is ask the Lord. Because you know what? I refuse to put anything before the Lord. But it's just like funny jokes with us now. But it was our journey. So, then I went through, this is going to offend some people and probably poke some religious spirits, but I'm okay with that. Holly, I went through what Holly and I refer to as F the supernatural phase because I got offended. It's the truth, okay? That's what we title it. I should probably write a whole book on it. But the fact is that once I was able to see the angelic, do you guys know how many of your angels are just standing there bored? How many of you guys pray and don't really believe? How many of you guys pray and in your prayer you're thinking, wow, I hope this happens? Or how many of you guys live in that place of, well, God's not fixing it, you know, and where were you in this and da-da-da-da-da, right? Okay, well, about the time that the angelic was becoming very normal and very regular in my life, I'd gone back to the mountain for Christmas. Regardless of how the mountain feels about me, I love the mountain. And so many of the women that were in the program with me, I was so close to their kids. And I went back, and what I could see, it was like as I saw the angelic, the demonic, I saw so much more. And when I could see what these people that I loved were riddled with, and the angels were just standing there not doing anything, I was mad. And I shut down. Holly will tell you, for 2 months, I went to school, I came home, I faced the wall, headphones in, wouldn't talk to anybody. Like, I really, really shut down. I was angry. It challenged everything I believed from Bible stories. I thought angels were dumb and didn't do anything. Like, I was so offended, and I had all kinds of opinions. And then one day, Alger Marsh calls me, for those of you that are heart changers. Hadn't talked to him in months. And he goes, so you seen angels yet? And I didn't want to tell him, yeah, so what, right? So I'm like, yeah, how'd you know that? And he goes on to tell, whatever, there's a whole lot to this story. Anyways, I finally pop and I tell him I'm mad. And I tell him why. And he goes, Jenna, I'm going to get you with your own stuff. Oh man, how I hate that. He goes, how many people used to drive for hours and show up at the Heart Change office when you lived there and be like, I need deliverance right now. But you would actually say, honestly, you're not ready to stand on the truth. because people were so partnered with their stuff. And it's like, you can cast demons out and pray spirits out all day long and renounce lies all day long. But if you don't replace it with the truth and actually step into the fullness of what God's doing with you, it's just going to come back. It has permission, right? You don't get those hearts and strongholds healed, then they just come back and they just continue to torment you. So a lot of times when people are nowhere ready to actually like live that relationship with God, the last thing you want to do is cast their demons out, because it will go get seven more and come back. Otherwise, I would hit Skid Row like a tidal wave. But he goes, Jenna, think about that week before your suicide attempt. And in a moment, I was there. That darkness, that death, that I'm the worst thing. Every breath I'm taking is taking away from someone more deserving. And I could connect. And I realized it. And he goes, in that moment, you were partnered with your garbage. You were nowhere ready to receive the truth of what God had for you. And he goes, do you think just because you weren't ready that God took your angels away? Oh, that killed me. And all of a sudden I realized the angels really wanted to do something. But when people choose to be partnered with things, that really challenged my understanding about angels I see not doing anything. Because my thought process before was, if you're standing there, why, how can you watch this? Why aren't you doing something about it? Well, the fact is we're to be in partnership under God together, right? So that was that season. Then, of course, Holly and a couple people around me, it's such a weird season when you're discovering something. You don't know what your limits are, right? And I still was coming out of only knowing God is being angry and shutting me down and I'm going to burn in hell if I mess up, right? So I don't know what's okay. What do you do when all of a sudden you can communicate and talk to angels? You don't know what's okay. And it's not like they give you a rule book, you know? And so I was so afraid of being dishonoring that I wouldn't do anything. Like, Holly teases me now all the time about, do you remember what it was like when we used to have to pull teeth to get you to minister to people? Boy, any of you guys wouldn't know that, right? It's my favorite thing. But back then, I was so afraid of messing up. I was so afraid that if I said something that caused someone to believe something and it wasn't perfect and it took them down a wrong road, and the Lord's like, you don't have that much power. I'm like, oh, all right. Lord's like, how about you just lay down your idea of what you think it's supposed to look like and have fun? What? We can have fun? We don't have to be serious all the time? What? I remember one day I was mad. I was super, super mad. My heart is pure. My mouth is not always. I was really, really mad, and I was kind of throwing a fit about something. And I remember looking up and in first year, literally seeing, you know, angels know us. They're used to us. They know our belief systems. They know our behaviors, and wanted me to not take what I was mad about so seriously, and was literally river dancing on top of one of the cameras at the school. And I was so mad, and I didn't want to look. I wanted to be mad. I'm like, don't take this from me. You know, like, I'm right. This is stupid. You know, like me and my attitude always. Anyways, so I got alone with the Lord, and the Lord's like, unless I say no, he's like, Jenna, you hear me. You know my spirit. You know when something's not right, which is true. We do. We really do. And he's like, until I say no, green light. Right? Which is opposite of the, you know, guilt and fear into obedience that I had experienced. It was very different than what I'd grown up with. So, and that, when that comes from God, I mean, people can say that to me, but when God says it, it's a whole nother thing, right? So as things are happening, da 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 da. Okay, going to second year. My very, very first ministry trip in second year was, part of the way why I'm explaining this is, yes, I want to share encounters that I've had, but I'm putting them kind of in order because you guys sense things and have thoughts and have ideas, and how many of you guys disqualify them because they sound so absurd that, right? But what if you actually believed in what the Lord was showing you, or ask the Lord when you sense something or you feel something or you sense something's going on in a room, we can actually ask Holy Spirit questions and say, Lord, what are you showing me? That was the most powerful thing I ever learned. Lord, what are you showing me, right? So my very first ministry trip was with Bill, and I'm coming back, and we're driving back. And I see, you know when you see a city in the dark in the distance and you can just see the lights? And I could see something over, I still don't know what city it was, whatever, somewhere between San Francisco and Redding in the far distance, that's where it was. But I saw something over it, and I was like, what is that? And I felt like the Lord had said it was a territorial stronghold, and he just said, bookmark it. And that's what the Lord will do. I'll see things and learn things, but the Lord will just go, bookmark it, and I know it's not for that time, but it will come into play later. So, let's see, that was probably September, October, November, December, January, February. No, wait, I just passed it. Anyways, New Year's, somewhere I went past that. New Year's morning. This is probably one of the first angelic encounters I had that I wasn't, it wasn't just me. And some of you guys might remember Val, Valeria Afonina. She was at the mountain with us too, but she had moved down there and was going to school. And she lived with Holly and I. And one morning, it's New Year's Day, no, New Year's Eve morning, and Holly was coming home from being up here and got home at like 2 in the morning, and so I knew she wasn't going to be up till like noon or 1, but about 6 in the morning, I wake up with these two angels standing in my bedroom saying, I think I've shared parts of these things with you guys. I wake up with these two angels in my bedroom and say, you're going to go to Reno and put a dollar in a slot machine. And I went, oh yeah, because that's what God would do, send me to Sin City to gamble on New Year's Eve. And I literally, there's that religious spirit. And I was like, okay, all right. And I'm like, okay, one, I hadn't been given a BMW yet. So I didn't have a car at the time. And Holly had her Jeep. And I'm like, Holly is not getting up before noon or 1. There's no way. Holly sits straight up in her bed, lifts her eye cover off and goes, we're going on an adventure, aren't we? I'm like, okay, that is like a whole move of heaven right there. I'm like, that is crazy. Val comes walking in. Where are we going? Like, it was the most supernatural thing, because that is not normal at our house, period. Especially on a day when you don't have to get up. And we did, none of us had any money. Really, we got in Holly's truck and we went. And the amount of angels that went with us as we were on our way, like, it was the most supernatural, craziest trip ever. And even though I was seeing with the naked eye, Holly was feeling and Val was feeling everything that was happening. And I'm never going to be that person, oh, well, I see it all, so let's go by what I say. I'm like, what do you feel? What are you sensing? You know, really wanting to empower people. So we get to Reno. I knew exactly where to go. And it's not like I knew Reno. The only time I'd been in Reno before that, I was drunk and high and got a tattoo. But so I had no idea where I was going or what I was doing. But went right to the slot machine. And in my mind, what do you think I'm thinking? I'm going to win so much money, and I'm going to give it to the homeless, and God's going to wreck all these people with all this money, right? No, dollar in, nada, right? Nothing. So anticlimactic. And I literally felt like God was laughing, right? So I don't know what to do. I'm like, well, let's go find some homeless. It's like -4 degrees, okay? And I had just been on my first ministry trip to LA, so like, I realized I wasn't scared. I love street people. Like, I love them. They're my favorite. And I was like, let's go find homeless. So they're frustrated. It's late. It's like 11 o'clock. And Holly ends up, we get in the car. We don't know what we're doing. A bunch of chicks that are hangry. And we literally, Holly turns down a one way the wrong way. That was funny. We're all yelling at each other, you know. And then all of a sudden, we look over, and they totally could feel it and sense it in their spiritual eye, but there was this huge ice rink, and it had this big lit up baseball that's like 20 feet tall over it, and it literally looked like this melty Jabba the Hutt with like 10 million icky faces was just draped over it like a sticky hand that melted. I don't know how else to describe it. Whatever. Anyways, that's my description. And I'm like, oh, I think this is why we're here. And I felt the presence of God hit us like you wouldn't believe. And what, like, normal people would think this is so absurd. Like, who gets out of the car in the middle of the night in -4 degree weather? Because you see in the spirit, I saw naked eye, but they saw in the spirit a melted Jabba the Hutt, right? Who says that? And also, who preaches and says and admits that they did it, right? And we get out, and you could feel the fact that this thing was angry that we were there. And all of a sudden, I turn around, and on top of all of these hotels was armies and armies of angels. And I'm like, and Holly and Val could feel it. It was unbelievable. And they had quivers, and they pulled out these arrows, and we just started worshiping. We just started worshiping. It's not like, come out, ye evil spirits. No, it's we just started worshiping and just loosing the presence of God. And then all of a sudden, this army and demon, like all of it just went crazy, psycho, awesome. We won. It was good. So it was beautiful. I'm more in shock, like, what the heck is happening? This is crazy. Like, this is like Bible stuff, like in Reno in 2000-something, right? So I'm like, God, am I delusional? Like, I'm really questioning, like, am I crazy? Am I delusional? But the Lord's like, you said yes. There's so much that goes on that people don't realize. And the Lord's like, you said yes. So I did. So we go to leave, and all of a sudden those same two angels said, you're going to Lake Tahoe. Okay, right? So we're ready to go home, but now we're going to go to Lake Tahoe. So here it is. We ended up, you know, popping bottles of apple juice at midnight in the car somewhere between Reno and Tahoe. And this is real life, folks. And like I said, we're hangry, we're tired, whatever. And those two angels keep popping up saying snow globe, snow globe. Snow globe. Okay, what the heck? I realized it was just Christmas. I have no idea what that means. I'm thinking we're going to get somewhere and there's going to be like a blow-up snow globe that somebody uses as a Christmas decoration, right? And we get, the angels totally lead us to this specific hotel. And we go in and we're looking for a snow globe. Like, we're totally hunting it like it's a treasure hunt, like X marks the spot. Right? We have no idea what we're looking for, what's going to be in that spot, but we're looking for it. And then finally, Holly and I get into it. She goes, I'm just going to Google snow globe. And I said, yeah, because that's what angels do, is they Google things. And like, we're having this argument in the middle of the foyer of this hotel in front of all these people that are wasted drunk on New Year's Eve in the middle of the night in Tahoe. And Holly Googles it. And what? There's a 3-day New Year's festival called Snow Globe that happens in Lake Tahoe every year. Okay, Holly, maybe angels use Google. Okay, so so we find out where it is. Well, it's literally like a Woodstock in the snow. Okay, and it's gone. But we drive and we get out there, and the presence of ick is so... it's disgusting. Like, it just feels gross. And Val gets out, and because I'm like, what are you guys feeling and sensing? And Val gets out, and she walks, you know, kind of out to the edge, because it was basically like a big football field where people just went and did stupid stuff. And Val gets to the edge, and I can tell she just kind of gets out there and worships a little bit. And Holly just kind of gets with the Lord, and then she comes back, and both of them said the same thing, that it's like you feel like you pray and everything stops, like almost like this covering type thing, right? So this time we don't have, you know, a million angels with us and armies, but we just start worshiping in tongues. Now, in my mind, with my eyes closed, I'm thinking our prayers are piercing it in rays of light or shooting through the darkness, you know, like total Star Wars geek right here. But what happened? It just faded into nothing. Three girls, middle of the night, freezing cold, took down a territorial stronghold, right? Well, that's where you get to choose. Do you need the proof before you know it worked? Right? How often do you get confirmation? 1 year later, Mama Barb and I, this wrecks me every time. How often do you get to find out? How often does God give you a gift where you can find out that your middle of the night excursion did something? Mama Barb and I go to Reno for New Year's the next year. Went to Blue Man, it was awesome. And we are so excited, we go to Mandalay Bay for the buffet on New Year's. That's pretty sick. Thank God that was before this weight loss journey. And the way that the lines are, the velvet rope things, they go like this. So Mom and Barb and I are talking about the spa and the eucalyptus room and all that stuff. And as we're working our way like this, we get to where we're just turned, and there's these three guys standing right here. And, you know, they can tell they're total, like, party college guys. And the guy's like, dude, why didn't you go to Snow Globe? And, it was 2 years later. And he goes, man, why didn't you go to Snow Globe? He goes, I thought you went to Snow Globe every year. He goes, last year we went, it just wasn't the same. He's like, man, we used to go and we'd get like, what do you say, like 17 people piled up in a car and everybody's wasted and drunk and the acid was great and da 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 da. He's like, but last year it was just nothing. It wasn't even great. And I start crying and I'm like, Mama! And I get to the table and I FaceTime Holly. I don't care who can hear me. I go, dude, you're not going to believe this. Da da da. Like, I didn't even care. I was like, that was such a gift from God for me. Like, what are the chances of that, right? Sorry, we took the party out of your party. And but something inside of me with the Lord is, I love your yes. The fact that you say yes, even though you may not ever know, right? And you got to be pretty crazy to do stuff like that, right? So life goes on. Angelic things are still happening. I'm still pretty shut down, won't open up about it. People want to ask me questions. They get nervous, whatever. I bite people's heads off sometimes. You only want to know me for my gifts. You don't see my heart. Like, I've gone through all the layers, right? But I realize I'm the one that gets to decide, you know? So anyways, I moved to LA. Wait, I got a little note here. Oh, yeah, no, that was about you. I moved to LA. And I go through one of the hardest, darkest, most horrific demonic assaults of my existence ever. And it's really scary when people like Benny and other really spiritual people at Bethel are like, Jenna, you're who we'd call if this was happening to someone. And I've never felt more alone and more scared. Like, there's nobody that can help me, right? Ended up leading to probably one of the most, I'm leaving a lot of this out because it's still such a personal journey with me, but what ended up coming out of that was me really stepping into a lot of who I am and able to like actually receive love from people, not run from it. All of my self-rejection and self-hatred finally left. So anyways, I skipped third year. I end up going back to Bethel on staff. And my very, 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 very first staff meeting, you know, this sounds so absurd, but you guys have watched this fruit in my life, even if it's only social media. I'm sitting there in my first staff meeting trying not to be weird, okay, in a circle with, you know, all the people at the Transformation Center, and all of a sudden I see this arch doorway right in front of me with a bar and a curtain hanging, and I see Jesus's face in his hand just like this. Like, I even remember his fingernails. It's so clear. And he goes, I'm going to open this curtain, and when I do, I want you to take your time, and I want you to look at everything that's in this room, okay? This is going to come into play a couple visions later. Opens up this curtain. Now, mind you, this was before traveling the world. This is before I'd ever been into Tiffany's. This is before crazy Beverly Hills houses. This is before all of this. Okay, none of this stuff had happened. And he opened, and I still was driving the minivan that I got from Jeff and Janelle. And the Lord opens it up, and in the center of it is this huge black SUV with a bow on it. And there's this like glass pedestal, and it's got plane tickets fanned out over it with a stamped paid. And then it's got another glass pedestal that had like fanned out like debit or prepaid like Visa, MasterCard cards. And then how many of you guys on social media can tell I pretty much vacationed for 2 years? There's like these palm trees blow up that would like be outside of like a resort or a travel agency. Then there's the car. Then there's another glass pedestal with all of these Tiffany's boxes stacked up on it, and which is a really nostalgic thing for me. Not too much of a jewelry girl, but I love Tiffany's green. It's my favorite color. And I love Tiffany's. And then there's another one that had mortgages stamped paid. And then there was a guy in there, but I keep him at the back. And the Lord reminds me all the time. So, and I'm looking at this going, oh, this isn't God. Right? Didn't make any sense. Like, all of that stuff was so flippin' far-fetched. Like, I left and went to Reading with a tote of hand-me-down clothes. Okay? Like, my expectations for big fancy things is still like, what? That just happened. Oh my gosh, you know? And I'm like, what in the world is this? And now, mind you, pause right there. I had just come onto the Transformation Center. So you guys know, like, it was really hard for me to get sessions at the Transformation Center because people didn't want to call and go through the red tape. People didn't want to call and go through the paperwork. Everybody was used to having instant access and coming to my house and sitting on my sofa, right? So trying to get sessions there, well, nobody wants to start a job and not have any clients, right? So I'd been a little worried about it. Like, why? This sucks, you know? So all of a sudden, Jesus goes, wait till you see what's on the front seat of the car. And I'm like, okay, I'm still totally weirded out. I go, and I remember watching my hand pop the door of the truck, and on the seat of the, on the driver's seat is my schedule for work, and it's crammed full, and I get so flippin' stoked. Like I literally have a physical response of excitement. Jesus puts his arm on the door, and he goes, funny how the only thing in this room you're excited about is what you can work for. Oh. Ouch. Right? In his scriptures, he talks about based on his riches and glory. How often do we box that up? Okay, there is no way I had any thoughts or dreams about, oh, I'm going to shop at Tiffany's and I'm going to live in Beverly Hills and this. No, are you kidding me? I'm like, give me some Vans and I'm straight, you know? But when we believe and ask him to bring us to the level that he believes for us, he's going to challenge you. And so I'm like, he goes, I don't want you to come in this room and receive it till you're ready. 3 days. And it wasn't until Sarah said, you need to get your ass in that room because this is getting old. Like, I was heavy. Like, it was a battle because I didn't want to go in it till my heart was lined up with whatever God was saying to me. 3 days later, I didn't even put it together for a while, but 3 days later is somebody calls me from Sacramento and says, hey, there's this family, their daughters, da 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 da. If I buy you a plane ticket, can I send you out to New York? I've never been to New York. I've always wanted to go to New York. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, and you can go in and see the city on Saturday because they've got a wedding, da 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 da. I'm like, cool. So I fly to New York. And that morning, well, I did sessions with them, you know, Thursday, Friday. That morning, before I'm getting ready to go see my friend and go into the city, she comes and hands me a prepaid Visa card with $500 on it and says, I want you to be able to have fun and get souvenirs. Okay, I still hadn't clicked yet, okay? I don't know how it happened. It was the most supernatural day, but all in one day had filet mignon and Trump Towers. The whole time the Lord kept going, today's about you. Today's about you. Today I'm celebrating you. Okay, that's weird. I know how to work. I know how to minister. But to just be lavished, like, now I'm used to it, but I didn't know how to do it then. And the Lord's like, so I end up having filet mignon and Trump Towers, and I go into Tiffany's and bought my little $75 trinket so I could get my little green bag and get my little box with the white bow, you know, because that was legit. But here's what's crazy is I walk into Tiffany's, and the hottest guy ever offers me champagne. I don't even drink champagne. I don't like it. Not because I'm against it, but because I don't like it. But I'm like, yes, because I'm in Tiffany's and I'm going to drink champagne. And so they bring it to me on this silver platter. And I'm, Okay, I'm wearing a Seahawks fleece and a beanie. Okay, it's cold. I am not dressed. I'm not dripping in Louis. Like, I do not look like I have money. But we go through all 10 floors of Tiffany's, and my buddy Eric goes, Jenna, you are the only person that I've seen offered champagne and the only person with it. I went, so then I'm paying attention. I'm like, what? I seriously think that Jesus just served me champagne in Tiffany's. Like, that's legit, right? So I leave. Jimmy Fallon, like, went into Swatch for us 80s and 90s people. That's a big deal. Like, that was awesome. So just all that, I swear I did like 3 weeks of touristy stuff in a day, right? I get back a week later, I'm coming up here because I'm leading a trip up here. And two nights before I'm coming up here, wondering how we're going to get over the pass, this lady calls me and says, hey, I just got the new 2000 whatever Range Rover, and I felt like the Lord said to give you my truck. And I'm like, and then it starts to click. A black SUV, went to Tiffany's, paid plane tickets. Like, I'm like, oh. Then I was more in shock that the Lord showed me so clear. And all he wanted me to do was to believe, right? So that happened. What that challenged in me on bringing my belief systems at his level versus telling the Lord what I was worthy of, telling the Lord what I deserved, right? None of this is just for Jenna. Like, where are your belief systems at? Do you have it boxed, right? Dude, I'm just a chick who clearly first 40 years didn't do so hot, right? So I've never denied the fact that I was a hot mess, right? So, okay. I want to get to some of the more serious stuff. A whole lot of stuff went down with Azusa. That was a crazy season. But what I want to get to is a year ago. This time last year, I was filming the movie that some of you guys just saw. And I went to Columbia right before I went to London. And in between, Mama Barb and I went to Chris's, her sister's house. Something fell on me at Chris's. To me, it just felt like I was really sensitive and emotional. And even Mama was like, something has fallen on you. I can see it. I'm like, I don't know. And so, of course, in my human mind, I'm thinking maybe because the movie's coming up or whatever. I remember Chris and Mama wanted to watch the movie, I Can Only Imagine. I'm like, no, I don't want to watch that crap. I don't want to get all caught up in the feels and cry and stuff. And then they started watching it, and I ended up getting sucked in, and I bawled and bawled. She's making fun of me. I'm totally can't even breathe. I'm crying so hard. And she's making fun of me as she's throwing tissue at me. But something that I can't put words to, but sometimes we experience things with God that we want to totally analyze with our minds. But sometimes we need to just be okay that there's something much deeper going on and we don't know, right? So I go to London. Okay, I think it's hilarious. Like, I don't even care that I'm filming a movie. Like, I'm not like, oh, I'm here filming a movie. I'm like, I'm in London. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. But the whole time I was there, the ridiculousness of what God was doing with me personally was unreal. And then, like, for all of you guys that know I'm a crazy Star Wars geek, like, my friend, I'm seeing one of my friends, she's a movie star, she's been in a lot of movies you guys have seen, and she's like, she sees my tattoo of my lightsaber, which I call my Sword of the Spirit, and she's like, do you like Star Wars? And I'm like, that's like asking if Jesus bled. Like, yes. And she's like, really? So she, like, I don't know that she's doing all this, but she's really good friends with a bunch of people that are stormtroopers and in the movie, because they were filming Star Wars 9 at the time in London. And I get off the boat, and flipping Peter, he's one of the stormtroopers, shows up, and like, I'm like fangirling out. Like, you would not believe, like, I was like a 14-year-old girl with Justin Bieber. Like, I was fangirling hardcore. And he literally looks at me, he goes, you know, I play a character and you don't even see my face. You're here filming a movie about you. I'm like, I don't care. Like, you are so cool, you know? And he brings me this movie poster. And I just felt like there was so many things like that happened that I felt like were kisses from God for me, right? So then I'm sitting there on this bench and I look, now mind you, I'm mic'd up, right? So I've got this microphone so they can hear everything that comes out of my mouth. And my inner monologue turned into an inner dialogue with God, and I talk out loud all the time. And I'm sitting there, and I see this guy sitting on the bench, and I'm like, why do I know that guy? I know that guy. Why do I know that guy? And they're listening to me, and I forget that they're listening to me. And then I'm like, why do I feel like I've talked to that guy? I know that guy. Why do I know that guy? And then all of a sudden, I'm like, well, I'm just going to flip and ask him. And I think maybe he's an actor or something. And I get up, and I go over, and it's the main movie star from I Can Only Imagine that we just watched 2 days before that played the main character of Bart in The Thing. And I'm like, I said some stuff. I don't know. I was so in the spirit. I don't remember what I said to him, but I asked him if I could pray for him. I love his response. He goes, well, there's some gravy on my shirt. Can you put your hand right here? Because I always put my hand right here on people. And he's like, can you put your hand right here, cover the gravy? And then, bam, I'm like, I don't know, all just some crazy words of knowledge came out. Got to wreck the guy. So I actually had to walk away from the filming of the movie. And I went and I sat with God, and I'm like, God, are you serious right now? You just let me wreck the life of a flipping movie star for you. Like, God, that is ridiculous. Like, you always, like, this is how I talk to God all the time. Like, God, you are so crazy. I can't believe you just did that. Bawling. And then I had to pull it together and go whatevs. So things like that, how much random things do we disqualify, or we think that we're trying to make them spiritual? Sometimes it's okay to be hyper-spiritual. Sometimes God's trying to tell you something, right? How, you guys sense stuff and feel stuff. What if you went with it? How many of you guys are looking for proof, right? Okay, so. I'm going to get emotional. I'm going to try not to. I get home. Mama's in another country. Okay, Michelle was in Mozambique, pee pants. And so I can't wait to go home, but I forget that my cousin Jessica and her friend are staying in my room for Worship You. It's one of those things, I love you, cousin, but I flipping want my house back to myself. That's great that you got 3 more days at Worship You, but no, it was fine. Anyways, over the last 2 days that they were there, I had 3 people who don't know each other, who don't operate in the same circles, get a hold of me and say, I felt like the Lord said, and it was all different things from this book that Sean Bowles had written like 11 years ago. Okay, mind you, that was long before he was my friend, okay? I didn't even know him. In fact, I avoided him like the plague. That's what most of us do with our destinies. So I was like, okay, and it was from this book, and so I don't read. I mean, I know how, I just don't. And so I got it on an audiobook, right? So the day that my cousin leaves, of course it's Reading, so it's 105 billion degrees. And I'm just going to be real. I'm going to the bathroom. And the Lord says, I want you to listen to the book. I said, I don't want to listen to the book. I want to go to the pool, or I want to just take a nap. And he's like, well, you don't have to listen to the book. But what if I have something for you? And I went, so I put my laundry on my bed, I sit on my bed, and I start listening to this book. I couldn't tell you what was being said in the book. All I know is I got sucked into the most radical angelic encounters in my room that were making my head spin, that I had to turn it off. I didn't even know how to deal with what was happening. It was almost too much, like the weight of glory was so much. And so I'm like, Lord, if we're going to do this, can we do it in the pool? So I take my phone because it's 115 degrees and I want my phone to overheat. So I literally, I'm so strategic, and I wrap the towel around it. So just the speaker's poking out. Nobody's in the pool. It's just me and God. And I start playing this book. And I know I shared some of this before, but I'm literally building a chronological order from this on purpose. So if it's repetitive, sorry. All of a sudden, I'm just like, I'm in the sun, I'm relaxing, I've been going for months. And I could just feel the tangible presence of God. And all of a sudden, there's this door in front of me. And I was like, Lord, every time you give me keys, you give me locks. Every time you give me locks, you give me keys. I'm like, I need the keys. And the Lord's like, you have them. No, I don't. And then he reminds me what 5 years earlier when I was in first year and Randy Clark had come that I had this dream, which only makes sense in a dream, where Holly and I were in this, we were side by side in somehow a reverse fire tunnel, which I don't know how that's possible with only two people, but that's what it was in my dream. So Holly and I are standing side by side in this hotel lobby, and all of a sudden, Chris Vallotton, Bill Johnson, Heidi Baker, and Randy Clark walk through. And the first one was Randy Clark, and he hands me this key that looks like a skeleton key, and he says, here, this is for you. I said, okay, put it in my pocket. Then Bill comes through and he says, I have something for you. And he pulls out his hand and it's this big, huge rubber band. And he says, sorry about the pocket fuzz. And I remember the wrinkles in his hand and pulling the pocket fuzz off. And he hands me this rubber band. Then Chris Vallotton comes through and he hands me like a regular house key, but it was like steel, but it had been painted red and was kind of chipped, you know, but it was like a regular house key. And then Heidi Baker comes through and she hands me a twist tie and a whistle. Funny. I told her this when I saw her not that long ago. She was cracking up. So over time, you know, and Holly kept going, ask the angels. But I refused to do so. And I'm like, no, the Lord will tell me what he wants me to know. Because I was all, you know, dignified in my spiritualness. And all of a sudden, I realized, like, the Lord shows me that the one from Randy Clark was to unlock the generational gifts of my family. Like the all the stuff going back through generations that had been sitting dormant. And then I have this dream, well, kind of like an open vision. I don't think I was asleep. And all of a sudden, Heidi and I are standing in the dumps, which I think the twist tie, garbage twist tie, that's what that represented. And then she blows this whistle and hands it to me, and she says, you're never going to have to look for anyone to minister to. You just blow this whistle, and the Lord will bring who, whatever. So I knew I had that, but I had never found out what the red key meant or the rubber band. So here's this door, and the Lord shows me this, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So here I am. To anybody that could see our pool, I probably looked insane because I'm physically moving to do this. And I take the skeleton key, I stick it in the skeleton hole. I take the regular key, I stick it in the regular hole. And somehow I knew to take, there was these two hooks above it this way, to take the rubber band and hook it here and hook it here, and then pull it around with a twist tie and blow the whistle. Because it's real in my world. I know, who does this? But I say yes to God, right? I felt God all over it. You can say I'm crazy if you want. But all of a sudden, it was like the end of National Treasure. Boom, 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 boom. And the door opens. And all of a sudden, all this huge, as far as you could see, of gold and gems and foreign currency and passports, which in 1 year, I got my first passport stamp 1 year and 3 weeks ago. And now I've been to 12 countries in a year. That's insane. And I'm leaving again for like four or five tomorrow or day after tomorrow. But that's crazy. None of this had been unlocked in my life yet. So I'm like, this is my first response. Jesus is standing there. Here's all this money. And I go, oh, Jesus, you got to help me to steward this. And he goes, or you could chill out and have fun. And he starts diving in, making snow angels. And then what does he say to me? He says, you stopped having fun. And I did. I had a couple of friendships and a couple of relationships that went sideways, and I really shut down. And even though I was living the spiritual part of me in private, the Lord's like, you took it all and made it all about the ministry. You stopped having fun. You stopped being childlike. And he's like, it's okay to have fun. You're so afraid to mess up. And I'm like, whoa, that is not what I expected when God's showing you trillions of dollars in foreign currency. And I was like, wow. And he's like, have you ever swam in a liquid diamond? No. And I knew in that moment he actually wanted me to go underwater in the pool. And I'm like, Lord, I just got a blowout. I really said this. This is what I mean, the Lord talk. He's like, really? I said, yeah. I said, okay. I guarantee you, I was under that water longer than what's physically possible. I don't even know how to explain it. I don't even know how to explain what happened under there. But then the next thing I know is he's showing me these treasure chests, and one in particular that he wants me to take this huge pearl that's in it. But I told him I couldn't because I felt like it belonged to a friend, and I actually felt like I was betraying that friend. And he's like, I'm asking you to do this. And I was like, okay, what do you want me to do with it? And he's like, I want you to eat it. I'm like, Lord, why do you always have people eat stuff? I don't get it. But I did it. I still say, I argue often, but I still say yes. So all I know is from that moment, I don't know why I'm hesitating on saying this, but I'm going to say it, whatever. The financial provision in my life has gone on steroids from places where I don't even know how to explain it. Aside from my own business, you know. So I'm literally, something in me solidified that realized I don't have to go for anything. I just stay in this place being a daughter and watch the Lord unfold everything, right? So then I get a little rested and I share this with a couple people. And then I think I'd done some more travel. I'm sure I did some more travel, whatever. I come home. So then I get to, when did I go? October. When did I go to LA for the conference? I think October, September. So we get to September, and so a couple months have gone by of crazy, just like, I don't have time. I'm going to run out of time. I don't have time to say all of them. But so just these angelic encounters were like becoming weekly, if not more than weekly. And it was crazy. I was calling people crying. I was a mess. It was insane. And but then all of a sudden this day, and I shared this before a little bit. I would like to say, oh, I don't know if I've ever shared it from the mic, but here we go. I would love to say that I was deep in worship. I would love to say I was in the Word. But no, I was looking up rap battles between Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly. Because I'm a rap girl. And I was all up in it too, like, dang, he tried to go after Eminem and Eminem shot him down. I'm like, woo, Jesus. And then I went and I took a shower and I came out. Oh, Lord, you have to cover this so much because, God, you did this. It's all you. Anyways, don't have stitch clothes on. And I just get out of the shower and I have this big bench at the foot of my bed. And I sit down. And all of a sudden I hear this voice talking in my room, which isn't always uncommon, but I was like, this was like real. Like, I realized a voice is coming through my Bluetooth speaker. And I'm like, that sounds like Christine DeMarco. And I realized that my butt had sat on my phone and picked a video on YouTube that wasn't Machine Gun Kelly or Eminem. And I'm like, that has to be divine, right? God is seriously trying to tell me something, because only God would have your naked butt pick a YouTube video that takes you down a road with Christine DeMarco that leads you to one of the most epic encounters ever, okay? And I'm like, nobody's home, right? Thank God. And I'm like, I start listening to this. And Christine talks about, it's a short film she did a while ago. And she ends up saying this moment where she says, sometimes God will let you go so deep into the darkness until you are desperate enough to let the light in. And all of a sudden it was like I transported back to the day before my suicide attempt, when I actually said the words out loud, I'm going to die old and alone in an attic. There's no hope for me. I'm unfixable. And the Lord took me back as if I was her again. Well, I couldn't receive love then. I couldn't even receive like then, right? But I can now. I'm like, love me. I can receive it. And but he poured love out on me then, when I was a hot mess, worthless, ugh, right? And he let me feel his love for me then. And it was unreal. And something happened where I stepped into the fullness of who God's created me to be. Yeah. Something happened. And next thing you know, the song We Dance by your sister starts to play on the Bluetooth speaker in my room. And I'm weeping. Now, mind you, at the time that I'm having this encounter with Jesus, I'm not thinking I'm going to go preach about it. I'm not thinking I'm going to share it. But what it happened in that moment was unreal. And so in my mind, I'm dancing with Jesus. Mind you, I'm still not dressed. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I don't care anymore. I was David before the ark. I lost all abandonment. I lost all of it. And I stood and I wept and I danced with Jesus. And there was something that became so solidified in my identity that nothing about who I am, what I carry, where I'm going, or what I'm doing is founded in what anybody else thinks or says or any past experience other than this relationship, me and him. I go where you go. I say what you say. I'm going to share what you ask me to share. So it continues. Things are just on steroids, right? Now, mind you, sharing my encounters hasn't always been safe. But Seth, some of you guys have got to know mine and Seth's relationship. Seth has always been so safe. And in Reading, where it wasn't always safe for me to talk about this stuff because most people take it like a fascinating story versus, okay, I'm trying to talk about this because something is going on with me. I'm all about me right now, right? Most people are like, really? Then what? You know, which is great. I get it. But when you're trying to figure something out yourself, like, that's a lot. And so I wake up one morning and I say, I see this vision of these three angels, one big, one medium, one small, holding this huge key. And I knew it was for Seth and Lauren and that it was getting thrown into this huge house. And I'm texting Seth and I'm crying. Now, mind you, Seth and I knew each other and we're good friends, but not like we are now. And so I'm like, dude, I don't even care anymore. I just need somebody to process this with. I just saw this vision over you. Da, 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 da. He's like, dude, FaceTime me. I'm like, no, I got to go to work and I got to try to pull it together. Ditched him. Went to work. I come home and on the way home, the Lord says, I don't want you to hold back anything. I want you to let it all out. I'm like, okay. So Seth literally answers FaceTime. And I said, dude, I ain't holding nothing back. I don't even care what you think. I'm just going to let it out. I don't care how crazy you think I am. And blah, I just, all the encounters, all the books, all the everything, all of it. And I thought it was interesting that he goes, you still running from Seth Dahl? Because I had this word that, not Seth, sorry, Sean Bowles. I had this word 4 years ago. I just moved back to Reading. Okay, I'm just excited that I even have a job at Bethel. Like, I'm not even trying to go change the world right now. And somebody calls me up when I'm in New York, that trip that God sent me on, and says, I see you in like 3 or 4 years, moving to Hollywood, being friends with Sean Bowles, and the doors to Hollywood open up. Okay, there's so much y'all don't know that I can't post that's going on in my life. But all that happened, but at the time, that was the most far-fetched thing I ever heard of in my life. That was unreal. So Seth asked me about it. I'm like, no, every time he's in town, I don't go and I run the other way, because if it's God, it's going to be God. I'm not going to self-promote. I'm not going to make it happen. God has to do it. So I get done telling all of this stuff, and Seth goes, I'm like, that is the most evil laugh I've ever heard in my life. And he goes, well, I just screen recorded all of this, and I sent it to Sean. And I go, you did what? He goes, and you're going to go to Modern Prophet, and you're going to sit in the front row next to me. I won't tell you the cuss word that came out of my mouth. I said, uh-uh. I said, I don't even sit in the front row at a church I'm an ordained pastor at. I am not going there and I'm not sitting in the front. And he goes, you are not hiding anymore. This is stupid. And I was like, and I felt God all over it. And I'm like, okay, now mind you, Seth or I didn't know that when you screen record back then that there's no sound. So it was a video of a whole lot of this, right? So I am a mess. I'm freaking out. There's no part of me that's like, I'm just gonna go and sit in the front row and own it. No, none of that was happening, okay? I get to Modern Prophet. Of course, Seth is back in the green room. Here's my seat, front row center with my name on it. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be sick, right? I sit down and immediately, God audibly, so loud goes, it's time. I always knew I was gonna end up in LA. But I thought it was going to be 5-6 years down the road, right? And I was like, okay, Lord, I ain't telling a soul. And if you're serious, then I need confirmation. First break. Two of the most ridiculous angels I've ever seen in my life show up being complete goofballs. And one's holding a sign that says it's. The other one's holding a sign that says time. And I literally say, God, human confirmation, please. And I meant it. Because I was like, that's funny. Ha ha, cute. Right? So sure enough, confirmations that I thought would take weeks, 3 hours. So after those confirmations, what do? Okay, Lord, if you're for real, like for real, and you just want me to up and move my whole life, which I loved where I was. I wasn't trying to move. if you're for real, like for real, then I want to work from Sean, because who doesn't throw out that fleece, right? And I hadn't met Sean yet. And then I was so nervous when Seth was taking me back. And it is so crazy. I really, guys, want you to pay attention to your thought processes about yourself, right? We never see ourselves the way other people see us. I am a nervous wreck. And believe it or not, because I've been so wounded by leaders, my expectation is that Sean's going to look at me and be like, who are you? Like, that's what I really thought was going to happen. But you know what happened? I walked in there and Sean goes, Jenna Winston, I am so excited to meet you. I have been hearing about you, da 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 da. And I didn't even know what to do with that. That wrecked me, right? I'm thinking, I mean, it's not like I had Sean somewhere unhealthy, but I did have honor for who he is. And I was, how you view yourself is crazy, right? We talked for like 2 seconds, whatever. He heard about the word. I told, or he heard the word I had. He goes, oh man. He goes, you realize that means we're gonna be best friends. He's like, I believe it. I feel it. I'm like, this is happening right now. This is crazy. What the heck? So whatever. That night, Sean spoke that word over me. Now, keep in mind, the response to that word when it went on Facebook, went viral, and what everybody said was so like, yes, Jenna, it's time, all this stuff, right? Okay, that is not what was going through my mind. Do you want to know what happened? When he said, you have the highest level gift of deliverance in the whole world, do you know what went through my mind? Oh, my whole life just changed. Because I just got exposed with everything that I've been hiding. And he didn't know, how would he know that I was a naked eye seer? And the fact that he talked about that I saw demons in real life, I'm like, oh, now the whole world knows that. I wasn't like, oh, this is amazing. I was like, oh God, what did you just do, right? And you know what I did? After that happened, okay, first of all, starting that night, the line of people waiting to talk to me went out. They had to call security. Like, that's what happens when people are in bondage and they hurt and they think you hold the key to their freedom. That's a lot. But you know what? So many times God would put me on platforms and I would buckle, right? But I realized I just have to love the person the best in front of me. I just have to be patient the best with the person in front of me. I don't have to be anything. I don't have to read your mail to you in order for you to know what's attacking you. Pretty sure you could just check your own thoughts. And all I have to do is be present right here, right now. But when he said, Jenna, there has been an intentionality of God to bring you into his fullness, but there's been an assignment of hiddenness on you that God didn't intend. And he's saying, in this season, my daughter will be seen. In this season, da 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 da, all this stuff will happen, which is happening. Okay, but I knew. He goes, it lifted 2 weeks ago, and I knew. I knew it was when I had the we dance moment. I knew that in that moment, something in me and Jesus solidified in my identity that made it okay to step into and not hide and not apologize anymore for the favor and all the craziness that happens in my life. And that it was okay to be me. It was okay to share me. And I just wasn't afraid anymore. And then bam, Hollywood open, movies open, government open, everything open, like so fast that I literally took a break for a month. And went and spent a month with the Lord, because I knew that the first of the year, my whole life was drastically going to change. And I told the Lord, none of this matters. I want from this moment on that I'm always in this dance, and that everything that unfolds in my life is fruit from the dance I'm in instead of proof that I'm in one. And so my goal is always to stay in the dance, right? So now, right before missions, probably way past time. You guys want me to stop? Okay. I'm going to try to speed it up here. Wow, I didn't realize I had this much. Right before missions, bam, angel shows up, has a scroll, has a key, unlike anything I've ever seen, has this pink and bluish electricity or whatever. And I'm like, oh, snap. I love when this happens because it means something's about to happen, right? Right before I come up here, and he literally, as he hands me the keys, he says, you're about to get phone calls from people you wouldn't expect to get phone calls from. You're about to be put on platforms that you think you need to earn your way up to, and they're just going to supernaturally happen, and this is the key to your destiny. And I'm like, okay, where do I put it? Sarcastic, snotty little angel made a Jenna comment. He goes, in your own heart, because it's the only place that your destiny is not unlocked. Oh, dang. Think about that. Ouch. So we stick it in my heart. And I go, what's the scroll for? And he's like, to cleanse the church, which I'd already, okay, that sounds really intense. Okay. But I already get called to go and like deal with ministries. Like how many ministries, like God right now is doing something where he's literally weeding out all compromise and realigning his ministries to him versus church games, right? And so I do get called in to do that a lot. And so I knew what it meant. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? Eat it, of course. So I did. Realize I'm going fast forward now. 3 hours later is when I got the text. My buddy, Brian, the head welch from Corn, he texts me, and that's how he hooked me up with Scott McNamara, who has been in the Finger of God movies, who came up here and ended up doing missions. Next thing I know, Darren Wilson from the Finger of God movies is like, all these people, like almost immediately within hours of that angelic thing started happening. And like everything that the angel said was going to happen, happened. And then I come up here, and the whole key thing, like this, oh man, I'm skipping stuff. There's so much here. Anyways. The two things that I want to end with, one impartation, but one is from the most recent encounter that I just had a few nights ago. I see angels all the time, but encounters are different. It's when it's for you, me and God, encounters are very different. And I had actually had something happen that hurt my heart. And I'm really good about actually not stuffing my heart anymore. Some of y'all really need to listen to this. And I lay on my bed on my back. For some reason, I feel like I connect to God better on my back than on my side. Isn't that funny? And I lay on my back, and I even scoot over so Jesus can have room to sit right here. And I'm like, Jesus, I know this isn't my fault. I'm not picking up any lies. I know all the right things to say, but at the end of the day, my heart just hurts. And so I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to feel it, and I'm just going to let it hurt while you sit here with me. I just need your comfort right now. And next thing I know, bam, this angel shows up. So Jesus is here, the angel's here, and he's got this ring, and he's got four keys on it, but he's holding it by one key, and the other three are dangling, which I still haven't figured out quite why that's so significant, but I feel like it is. And, oh gosh, now here comes the vulnerability hangover. Jesus goes, you can choose the first one if you want it or not. For those that you know me, when it comes to romantic love, I have been shut down like you would not believe. Like, I have the most epic life ever. If you can't prove to me you can add to it, I don't got time for you. That's kind of been my attitude regarding romantic love. But there's some stuff that I keep private going on in my life. And the Lord's like, or the angel goes, this is to unlock, if you want to unlock the romantic part of your heart that you've had shut down. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm ready. Okay, that, what just came out of my face, right? Self-protection is so good. No. So we stick it in my heart. Second one. Y'all know I'm 9 pounds from losing 100 pounds. And he says, this is for your supernatural transformation. We're going to get your teeth fixed and supernatural elasticity of your skin. I'm like, yes, you can do that? God would send an angel to get rid of my flub. Like, that's amazing. Like, that's so good that God cares what we care about, right? And then the third one, to unlock the supernatural understanding of heavenly finance. I guarantee you, with the craziness going on in my life, that's going to come in really handy. And I looked at Jesus and I said, I'm going to get to teach this from victory. Okay, you're talking to a girl that regardless of how much money I make or what goes on in my life, if you ran my credit, it would blow it up and say bipolar drug addict. Okay, so that's a big deal. Okay, and I am redeemed. My credit is not yet. Okay, I'm out of debt, but it is not redeemed. But then the fourth one, and this is what I've never done it corporately because it literally just happened. But we're going to test it out, and I want to find out what happens in your lives after this. All of a sudden, my bedroom filled up with more angels than is physically possible. And that fourth key said I was being given the authority to release the angel of harvest, the angels of harvest, to go back and retrieve all spiritual gifts, all unclaimed blessings, all promises over the generational lines in my family going back to the beginning of time. And that it's to be shared corporately. So y'all about to get rich, okay? But it's your choose. You know, you guys can take what I'm saying and be like, oh, well, that'll be great. And when I see it, I'll believe it. Or you could believe it. What if you knew that you're about to get every, what does that look like, right? What has been promised to your bloodlines? What has been promised to your family? What are the spiritual gifts that you're not walking in because someone, somewhere along the way, people got stupid, didn't walk in them, didn't cultivate them, and they're just sitting there dormant, right? Things have, I guarantee you, you cannot go back that many thousands of years and everybody in your family was lame. I guarantee you that there's been some stuff cultivated somewhere, right? What if you actually believed it? What if you actually believed it? Do you have to see it? It's like, oh, Patrick, this is not, like, you asked me, I thought about this a lot, you asked me, well, Jenna, does anybody follow up with these people in the movies? You know, find out what happened. The answer is yes, okay? And like the guy that, for those of you guys that watched the movie, the guy that I prayed for, that had the gypsy curse and whatever, like the guy is financially killing it right now, okay? Also, the lady, the black lady with the dreads, she's actually a movie producer herself. And the years of crap that had been built up that she finally had permission to cry, like she is rocking life right now and now actually wants to put me in one of her movies. That's funny. But my point is, I thought about that. Because even though I know your heart and there was nothing wrong with that, I was like, do we always have to know? Because in that moment, it wasn't about the end result. It was about the fact that God brought somebody from another country and said, I know you and I see you and this and this and this and this, right? It's about that person was so loved by God that day. And it's like, how often do we get caught up in the fact that we have to know the fruit and we have to know the proof before we're willing to believe? And what we do is we just shut off our own faith, right? Like I guarantee you when I was out there in the middle of the night, I didn't know I was gonna have a confirmation. But if I let the fact that I might not ever know if Snow Globe became righteous or not, if I would have let that be my answer on whether I was going to say yes or not, then I would have already shut off my own faith. But instead, like an idiot, I stand out in the snow in -4-degree weather trusting God. Well, I don't know about idiot, but you know what I mean. In natural life, I was probably. So, one, I really don't think I'm weird anymore. I actually think I'm normal. And I actually think that I just live in the fullness of what God wants for all of us. And I was willing to lay down. I could feel when my belief systems aren't lined up with his. So instead of like, okay, Lord, make me believe this. No, Lord, what is it? What's the lie that I'm believing that's not letting me believe you? What is the lie that I'm believing that's changing my behavior from where you want it to be? Right? Y'all know I'm a root seeker, right? So if there's any of you that want to start to understand the things that you sense or feel, or if you need to break off the lie, I don't sense or feel anything. That's just for other spiritual people. I don't feel spiritual like that. Break it off. Come on. Seriously. If you think, oh, well, I don't hear God like that. Okay, so find out how you hear God. Some people hear God through colors. Look them up. There are scripturally based meanings that will wreck your life. Like, I don't know how many people that do sessions with me to cultivate their gifts and find out, and their whole life opens up. They just had to find out how they hear God. Some people it's a knowing, some people it's a feeling, some people it's a hearing. Sometimes he's in my face all the time, right? But you got to find out what works for you. But if you want an impartation to be able to understand and start to trust that you're sensing something and start to ask the question, what are you showing me, Lord? And don't analyze it to death. Just go with God till he says no, okay? If you're living in fear of being deceived, you're already deceived, yeah. Right? Because you know when something's not right. We all do, right? Our spirits know truth. So if you want an impartation, whatever that looks like for you, it doesn't have to look like me. But for you, I'd love for you to stand. And then we're going to go after your generational line stuff. Jesus, I am totally okay with how you've made me. Because regardless of all of the crazy epicness, the fact is I know how much of a daughter I am. I know your truth about me. And my identity is so solidified in who you say I am. So Lord, I ask that for every encounter, every bit of spiritual understanding, every bit of solidified identity that I carry, everything that I carry, every breakthrough I've gotten, every bit of it, Lord, I release it with such a happy heart, Lord. And I impart everything that you have downloaded to me, that you have blessed me with, that I've encountered. And I just pray for radical encounters, Lord, not only that they would receive it, but that my ceiling would be their floor. Lord, that they would go beyond me, that their understanding would turn around and wreck me. Lord, I don't need to be a star. I just love being your daughter. And Lord, that anybody who has any doubts of things unfolding for them, that you would just punch Satan in the face, because that's just lies. It's just lies. And Lord, right now you say that you have given me the authority to release the angels of harvest to go back and get every dormant gift and blessing and spiritual understanding. And I release them right now for everyone in this room, Lord, that they would go back through our generational lines and get everything that's sitting dormant in the spirit and bring it forth, Lord. And if there's any belief systems or walls or anything that anyone is believing that keeps them from receiving that, Lord, that you would just supernaturally remove it for them. That it doesn't take this huge, massive process and believing they have to line up appropriately before they can receive. No, Lord, that it would literally just be a new spirit, a supernatural understanding. That it would be that simple, Lord, that we just get back to the simple gospel and that you are good. That your plan for us is always upgrade. It's always better. It's always wholeness. And yeah, we go through fire sometimes, burning off the chaff, but you don't punish us. And you don't hold us back until we're perfect. But to be okay in the process, Lord, and to be able to supernaturally just believe that you have nothing but the best for us. And we say yes and amen to every promise. Yes and amen to everything that you're doing. And we're okay if we don't understand. We still say yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now I gotta go to the airport.